You're listening to Stateside. I'm Cynthia Canty. She believes in the power of art as a force for love and healing, and she believes in the people of Flint. Artist Vanessa German has just opened her first large-scale museum exhibition at the Flint Institute of Arts. It's called Miracles and Glory Abound. Vanessa German is based in Pittsburgh. She spent a week in Flint last summer working with area kids and drawing inspiration for her new show. Vanessa German, welcome to Stateside.
Thank you. It's good to be with you today.
I know that I read that you're looking to start people talking about public memory and rewriting history through the lens of privilege. How do you do that through your art?
The work of art that I have in Flint right now is a really good place to begin to not necessarily rewrite history, but to consider an entire body of story of history. So when I think about public memory and I think about monuments, that monument is holding a place for a story. And what I found out and have found out through lots of research over the years is that there are stories within stories and stories submerged by literally the monument and by how some stories are amplified. They're just told much louder than other stories. So we're not rewriting history, but we're putting the missing, the often intentionally removed chapters and stories from history back into the book and laying them out on the same plane. So the work that we have in Flint is a wonderful way to begin to do that because it is inspired aesthetically by both the painting, Washington Crosses the Delaware, and so aesthetically, it is an incarnation of that.
Okay, and that's, I should remind everybody, I think, who went through school probably saw that famous painting of Washington leading his Continental Army across the Delaware, Christmas Day, 1776.
Correct.
How are you commenting on that painting? What kind of pieces are you showing to make comments on that painting?
So the work that I have created really is a re-envisioning of that. So in my sculptural incarnation, which is probably exactly as big as the incarnation in the painting, because it's a huge painting. It's like 21 feet long. And so I made a 16-foot boat, and it is populated not by 12 figures, but by not by 13 figures, but by 14. And they are all figures of color, and my Washington figure is a single black mother carrying a small child, and there are lots of symbolic references inside of the work from the way that I'm using the colors red, white, and blue, which were strategically used in Leutze's painting, but also thinking about Leutze as an artist who was not just capturing a portrait of a moment, but he was working in the spirit of invention and myth. Washington Crossing the Delaware was not painted till 75 years after George Washington died, and it was, and the painting is a completely impossible thing to have happened in real life. So as an artist, I think, where do you take these liberties? What liberties do these story are the liberties that you're taking with a historic moment? What are those liberties doing? What kind of, how are they shape-shifting the story? How are they affirming one part of the story? How are they contributing to a myth? How are they interrogating a myth? And so as an artist, I thought, well, let me create a day in a fictional city park where the central monument is not Washington crossing the Delaware, featuring a tall white man standing up in the middle of a rowboat, in the middle of an icy river, perfectly balanced. But let me create this vision where I've very intentionally replaced some of these figures. But not only that, in my incarnation called Miracles and Glory Abound, which the acronym is MAGA, you experience the force of momentum to the boat. So in Washington Crossing the Delaware, painted by Leutze, you see that this boat is being propelled by what the artists thought was a representation of everyone in America at that time. There's like a Native person, a woman, a black, an enslaved person, and people from like a Scottish army, and they're all represented in this boat. But in my incarnation, that would be the central monument in this fictitional American city park, is actually being propelled by the figure of a black girl who is bearing the water, but also bearing the story into the future. So I was thinking about who gets to decide what stories survive.
There you go. And as you tell me now, the choice of title, Miracles and Glory Abound, M-A-G-A. So that is, and it is a wonderful title. I know you spent time in Flint last summer. And I'm wondering, you know, where'd you go? What did you see? And how did it inspire and inform this show that's just opened in Flint?
Whenever I do a solo exhibition at a museum, it's really important to me to be inside of the community, because a lot of times museums are treated like exclusive places, and there are sometimes a lot of people express to me the sense of not feeling welcome in museums and not necessarily understanding art like that, so they can't see it the way that maybe a curator would see it and won't be able to talk to other people about the art the way that academic people talk about art. So it's really important for me to go into communities and say, you know, museums were really important to my life growing up, and I understood that museums were my place. Like, your museum belongs to you. It thrives because you would go and visit it and bring your life and your experience and your memories and your breath to that building. So it's important for me to go out to communities and to make that connection, because often there has been an intentional disconnection. If you look at a lot of museums in this country, they would intentionally make it more difficult for what they called undesirable communities to enter into the museum, and that legacy still persists and insists today. So when I was in Flint, I went to Burston Field House, which is this historic building where they have dance classes and they've done all types of sports trainings, and it is an integral spot for a part of North Flint. And then I also went to the Boys and Girls Club of Genesee County, and I did several days of power figure workshops where we talked about the power of art and the power of intention and what it means to bring the world around you into your art. We talked about what it feels like to make art, what happens to your heart and your mind, and then to consider the object that you make with purpose. Like, I always ask in the workshops that I do around the country, and in Flint it was amazing because I ask young people, and I did this workshop for kids who were probably three-year-olds to adults who were 88 years old, and I ask everybody the same question. If you could make a work of art that had the power to do anything, what would you want it to do? And where would you want to place that work of art to be useful? So we activate in the workshops that I had in Flint the power of creativity and the power of creativity in action, to be generative, purposeful, to use beauty and creativity as a tool for human social connection.
And when you got responses, especially from the young people, did you see the kinds of answers they gave you? Were they impacted by the Flint water crisis, by the trauma that had been visited on the city?
The ones that really stood out to me never mentioned water at all. Some of them just talked about violence. Like, I was really surprised. I had one girl who, from looking at her, if you were to think stereotypically about the children who have in this country, are experiencing the trauma of street death, you would not guess this girl. And on her piece of paper, she said, if I could make a work of art that had the power to do anything, it would stop all of the guns and violence on the street, and it would make my neighborhood safer. And then she wrote a list of names on the piece of paper, and next to each name, she colored in a little heart. And so there were several people who wrote about making works of art to heal and to protect their families and their communities. The youngest person in my workshop was a three-year-old boy who I had at Burston Field, who who told me that he wanted, and because I was writing for him and he was telling me what he wanted to put in his power figure, and he said, I want my power figure to have the power of vegetables.
Oh, yeah.
And then he whispered to me, I love strawberries. And I thought about that. I said, that's really wonderful, because somebody is telling him those vegetables are going to help you to grow healthy and strong and give you energy and power to run as fast as you can. And he had no reason to think that you can't put that same power into a power of art. So we wrote it down, and he was so excited. And so I had a spectrum of things, but I don't think anyone mentioned water.
Well, certainly the art that you've created in this exhibition, Miracles in Glory Abound, are really worth seeing as you really put forth this message of the power of art as a force for healing and a force for love. And we want to remind everybody that Vanessa German, Miracles in Glory Abound, will be at the Flint Institute of Arts until April 20th. So there's plenty of time to come and see this installation. It's been great to meet you, Vanessa. We want to thank you for sharing your passion and your work with us on Stateside.
Cheers. Have a great day.